Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Rachamim. You're now tuned into a higher inner frequency soul class, number 349, Secular by Design, Part 1. We're broadcasting live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, Uniting Souls, actually. And today's program will focus on reading a small slice of what I consider to be a very crucial book in the 21st century, written by Mr. Alan W. Cecil, titled Secular by Design, A Philosophy of Noahide Laws and Observance. We then plan to add some of our own commentary to hopefully draw more human hearts to read this wonderful book and bring the concepts written about by Mr. Cecil to the attention of a larger circle of human souls, all blessed and anointed, never to be disappointed with their Tzelem Elohim, their divine image, which is no dream. We started the program with a niggin with the Lubavitch Rebbe, Schussi Yogin Aleinum, Litchachila Riber, which was a niggin, a Hasidic a cappella song, which was I believe was either revealed or composed by the fourth Lubavitch Rebbe, the Bishmol Schneerson of Lubavitch, who lived from 1834 till 1883, till they went to the next level of life. And the Rebbe Mirash had a look on life. When a person has a problem, the world says go around the problem, go under the problem. The Rebbe Mirash said, I say go over the problem. And you'll see, and I'm adding my own interpretation, the problem itself melts like butter on the skillet. And we're just letting the song conclude out, and that's that song, Litchachila Riber. Listen, so, you know, you might ask, Dunzus, you're good, man, why are you reading from a book that's called Secular by Design? I mean, you talk all the time about being a Torah activist, a Torah askan, which I am. But Mr. Cecil has broken through, I think, into a realm of consciousness which I believe, and I will not be surprised in the near future, and the future is now, when more and more children of Noah, which is basically all the nations of the world, will want to access a consciousness which has existed since the beginning of the creation. For those of you who understand or have some awareness of Kabbalah and inner dimension perspectives of Torah, existed before the creation, namely that there is a unified field of unity within the Creator's design for the creation based on structure and law, which is divine law, which people grapple with, and sometimes they interpret properly, sometimes they misinterpret properly. But in the place of that, there's been a great obfuscation in the last almost 2,000 years, where another type of philosophy, namely the Esavim, or the philosophy of the descendants, if not direct, the spiritual descendants of Esav, the twin brother of Jacob, Yaakov Yisrael, Israel, Jacob Israel. So I'm plucking from the part one, the overview of this wonderful book, Secular by Design, a philosophy of Noahid laws and observances, and hopefully on a weekly basis without a vow. I hope to read little tiny portions and add my own little commentaries, again, to arouse you to the idea that we have been so subtly influenced by the philosophical viewpoint rooted in Esau or Esav, Esavian thinking, that is, it has been the exclusion of properly looking with an objective mind, heart, and intellect the teachings of the Torah, biblical teachings, both written and oral traditions, as it applies to the Jewish people and as it applies to all the blessed nations of the world. Called Mishpacha Adamah, and to learn more about the blessings that are inherently guaranteed, according from a Torah perspective, go please to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. So here we go, reading a little bit from the book. In the overview, or you might call it the preface to the book, for many people, the term intellectual, in quotation marks, conjures up images of someone who is erudite, you know, sharp and well-spoken, a person of broad culture, who can think and speak about controversial topics with wit and aplomb, not with aplomb, but aplomb. A person who does not resort to knee-jerk emotionalism, a person of reason. In a footnote here, Allen notes, one common non-Hofstadterian definition, because he is, at the beginning of this book, he plucked from a Pulitzer Prize-winning book called Anti-Intellectualism in American Life by a Mr. Hofstadter, I believe his name, Richard Hofstadter. This is a book that was published in 1963 by Vintage Books. So in this footnote too, Alan gleans out one common non-Hofstadterian definition of intellectual is that of an quote-unquote expert, someone with highbrow credentials such as a PhD, those who often use the misnomer, quote, pseudo intellectual, end of quote, abide by this definition. However, for many others, however, the word intellectual, in quotes, evokes negative images of the egghead, the brain, the grind. That's something I never heard of before, is another term for an intellectual, the nerd, which we've heard of, or the geek. And the person who often disdains the mores and the values of polite society. And in a parenthetical statement, Alan added, and in effect may be trying to change the rules themselves, a snobby and cliquish left-wing bleeding heart liberal academic who is vague but constant threat to a comfortably conservative and repetitious way of life, particularly in the matters of faith. In his review of Hofstadter's anti-intellectualism in American life, Rush Welter observed that Hofstadter explained how, quote, anti-intellectualism has permeated our religion and our politics, our economy, and even our education. And this was an article that was written by Rush Welter called Anti-Intellectualism in American Life by Richard Hofstadter, which was published in the journal, I guess a journal is a type of journey, a literary journey, the Journal of American History, Volume 51, Number 3, which was published way back in 1964, page 482. In our educational system, the well-to-do in early 19th century America could send their children to academies to be taught, quote, Latin, Greek, and mathematics, commonly supplemented by science and history. And this is documented in Hofstadter's Anti-Intellectualism in American Life, page 324. And the idea of intellectualism was grounded in a classical rather than a theological education. By the end of the 19th century, as public schooling became mandatory, the curriculum changed, as did the focus, and being able to reason, think logically, was viewed increasingly as not simply unimportant, but detrimental to our expanding industrial economy. Business wanted schools that would turn out dependable and subservient workers for their factories, and thus the preference for professionals with academic credentials rather than philosophers. And quoting again in footnote 5 here, Allen wrote down the following: a great deal of what might be called the journeyman's work of our culture, the work of lawyers, editors, engineers, doctors, indeed of some writers, and most professors, though vitally dependent upon ideas, is not distinctly intellectual. The heart of the matter, to borrow a distinction made by someone which will be talked a lot about later in this seminal work by Alex W. Cecil, is none other than Max Weber, who lived in the 19th and 20th century. To borrow a distinction made by Max Weber about politics is that the professional man lives off ideas, not for them. So now let me go back and kind of recapitulate and comment on my own viewpoint based on my experience living in secular society, influenced by secular society, for the good, and sometimes for the bad, and sometimes with indifference or apathy. Now, this idea of intellectual, someone who could be looked up to, as well as someone who could be put down. Well, again, here we have a dilemma in the civilization which we live in, blessed souls, where there is an attempt, sometimes covert, sometimes overt, many times feeble, and many times cruel, to categorize a person based on the information that they able, he or she, to process. So a person who can process a lot of information from one perspective is looked up to. On the other hand, those who perhaps process less information can develop attitudes of jealousy and hatred, and sometimes seeking the means to undermine those who have a certain talent, which perhaps is a little more accelerated than their own talent, to access and process and internalize and regurgitate information that they're learning in their educational process. Now, whether this intellectual person becomes a snobby or eloquent left-wing, bleeding-heart, liberal academic, or someone who is staunchly and so self-righteously conservative, adhering to a repetitious way of life, none of these scenarios that I've just presented to you, blessed souls, is connected to any sort of commandment which is incumbent upon the nation of Israel, nor is it connected by any shape, semblance, or form to the adherence and the learning and the transmission and the fulfillment of the 7 Noahide commandments. So what happens is we get brought into an area a perspective, which Alan is trying to point out to us, is a reason why the way we think today, whether we are aware of it or not, at the same time too, I as a Torah observant Jew saying, why do we have to even go there? Because there are matters of greater concern, at least from my Dalit Amos perspective, that true intellect, again, this is my own value system that I've learned from Torah, is the idea that I want to become well-versed in doing what I can to connect to the Almighty Creator and to do what I can to become intellectually aware as possible in fulfilling of my commandments as a Jew, which is 613. But of those 613, I cannot fulfill all of them because I am in the, you know, we are a three-branched nation. Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, the Kohens, the priestly branch, the Levites were basically the assistants to the priestly branch, and then the so to speak, the vast majority of the Israelite people are in the category of Israelites from the tribes other than the 11 tribes aside from the tribe of the Levites, the Levium. And this is where intellect comes in. Now there are verses in the Torah which mentions that this is Chachmaschem, Binaschem, that the Torah is our wisdom. The Torah is our understanding. But we're talking about an understanding that we can interface with, which is divine. And yet, here we have an educational system, which eventually, as Alan brought down by page 15 in the overview, that while public schooling became mandatory, which one could see as a very proper thing, because we see in a Torah value-centric society, that is incumbent upon every Jew in a healthy Jewish society, whether it be living in the land of Israel or living outside the land of Israel, that every Jew, it is incumbent upon every Jew, we're talking about the males primarily, not to be sexist, but it is their obligation to learn the Torah and teach the Torah. And Rambam delineates this in his enumeration of the mitzvahs. Of course, in our day, in the last 70, 80 years, it has become extremely important for the women to learn. And back before we had printed books, when we relied solely on an oral tradition in the most simple sense, women were hearing the instructions coming from their husbands or their fathers or their uncles or their brothers or their grandfathers. But now today, women also have an obligation because they are the primary raisers of their children in a more intense fashion than in previous generations, to educate their children when their children are not in some sort of yeshiva system. But yet, at the end of the 19th century in America, when schooling became mandatory, there was a change in focus to reduce independent thinking. This is those, there's a teaching from the Torah, En benichon el misha isik, or osek, but divrei Torah. There is no free person except one who is involved in divine instruction. Yet unfortunately, in the American civilization, the shift in focus, which was originally a positive focus, that public schools should become mandatory, logical thinking, unfortunately, was perceived as something which could perhaps undermine the expansion of an industrial economy. And the emphasis would be for dependence of servant workers for their factories. But blessed souls, unfortunately, we witness today that the factories, many of them have closed, and many could face future closing, Hashem forbid, heaven forbid. So if we're moving back to a stage, we're actually there, as some would call it, the post-industrial society, and we are in the economic straits that we are in, perhaps it's time for brave souls to emerge to promote and speak publicly about the idea of developing critical thinking with amongst the masses, to raise the bar, the common bar of mass consciousness. Now, some would say, well, this could be a threat to the power structure. I would humbly disagree. In fact, have a system of hierarchy. I mean, we have it within our own people. And how the rectifications were made to make this society more equitable shall soon hopefully bear fruit as we start to access more and more revelations connected to the messianic redemption through Mashiach Tzidkenu, our righteous Messiah, who will roar out Torah Chadashah, viewpoints of Torah which have never been viewed before by even the most elated souls that ever lived in this creation, which is Moses, Samuel, David, Solomon, even the righteous Noah, Hanoch, Adam, Methuselah. So that's basically what I want to go, blessed souls. My intent in sharing this book with you is, again, to promote the learning and the purchasing of this book. I am not making a profit in any shape, form, or manner for Mr. Cecil. I'm not a business partner, but I am truly inspired by his self-sacrifice to produce a book which is questioning the very foundations of the thought process and how thought process morphed over the past 2,000, give or plus, 1,000 years in Middle Eastern and Western civilization. So that being said, it might seem like a tremendous task to take upon ourselves, Mr. Cecil, even myself, little old Don Lucio Goodman, Torah activist, but we are empowered by the teachings of Psalms, Blessed Souls. So we're going to end now with an a cappella version of Shir Malal, Psalms 121 by Yosef Kadurner, a Song of the Sense, chapter 121, which I will read the lyrics since he sings it in Hebrew. And I'm pretty positive that a vast majority of people hearing the lyrics won't understand what's being sung in Hebrew, but will be inspired by the tone of voice, the quality, the soul-filled efforts of this nice young man, Mr. Yosef Kadurner. So it goes like this. A song of ascents. I shall raise my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help is from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to falter. Your guardian will not slumber. Behold, the guardian of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your guardian. The Lord is your shadow. He is by your right hand. By day the sun will not smite you, nor the moon at night. The Lord will guard you from all evil. He will guard your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from now into eternity. Blessed Souls, concluding, this is Don Zussi Goodman, your cyberspace Torah activist, Torah Askan, reminding everyone, you've got to be good, because Ateva Tov Lehetev is the nature of the good to do good. The Creator is the source of all good. If you're in this creation, put in by the one who's the source of all good, you have the potential to reveal that good right now through your thoughts, your speech, and action. If you're of the children of Noah, please take the time to immerse yourselves in the seven Noahic commandments to rectify the Esavian, the Esau way of thinking, which is not bringing us any closer to universal redemption. It shall be through divine instruction, through the Torah, whether you be a Jew or Gentile, spin our days both in Bezer Hashem, in a way of Ahav Echad, one love, Goyel Echad, one destiny, Kulanu for all of us, Berdarchi Shalom, and a peaceful Darchi Noam. Take care, everyone.
Bye. na 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 Yomam HaShemesh Lelekecha Le'aleha Balayla Hashem Yishmorecha Mikora Yishmor Et Nafshecha Hashem Yishmorecha Mikora Ve'ata Ve'ad Olam Hashem Yishmorecha Mikora Ve'ata